Well, hello everybody and welcome to the 249th edition of the Boxing Asylum Nutters podcast. I'm your host Steve Wellings and joining me this evening we have Donnie Baseball, Andy Patterson, Ozzy Smith and Tommy the Guru Allen. A couple of guests coming on later so it should be a pretty packed show. Not a lot of boxing over the weekend but pretty big stuff. As for Anthony Joshua knocking out Carlos Takam, if you want to go onto YouTube or iTunes you can see our post-fight pod. A bit of hate, a lot of thumbs down. Unfortunately they're not happy with the truth, they don't want to hear it. And on the Twitter sphere today, I was quite surprised. There was quite a lot of love for Joshua. I'm not a hater as such. I don't hate on the guy, but I have to judge Anthony Joshua from what I see, from people online, from what I hear, from his handlers, from his own aspirations of being a billion-dollar heavyweight. I have to judge him along those lines. And to be honest, I wasn't really that impressed. He's a decent fighter. He's a good fighter, but he's pretty much 1-2, left jab, right hand. He's fast. He can punch hard, but he gasses after six rounds. Is his skill set great, like some of the other heavyweights, even in recent years? No, I don't think so. What's different between what Joshua was doing last night after about round six and what Vladimir Klitschko did to his opponents for so long? The 1-2, the 1-2, the grab, the push down. I would venture not a lot, to be honest with you. People don't come on to listen to my opinions, though. Andy, I'm going to go to you first here. We had this question sent in earlier on Twitter from the Box Bet Beast, and I believe you took slight issue with it, so I'll read it out to you here and let us know what you think. He said, there has been a lot of criticism of AJ on social media for his performance last night. Of course, it was a premature stoppage, but Takam was beginning to unravel. AJ added cutting badly and won almost every round. Takam is and has always been a solid heavyweight and has never been handled as easily as last night. Does the panel think the criticism is harsh, Andy? What is the expectation of AJ? I've laid out my feelings on the criticism and my expectations. What do you think?
I wasn't so much taking issue with the full tweet. I was just basically the comment about I'm unraveling. I really didn't think he was unraveling. I just thought, you know, he was doing pretty well before the cut. The cut obviously kind of changed his mindset a wee bit, but I don't think it unraveled him. He stuck. He could have quit. He could have bailed with any time he wanted. You could, you know, if you didn't want to go into it, full hater mode, you could say, okay, these guys have had 2 weeks to prepare for each other, regardless of being in camp or no. I think looking at Takam's performance here last night, how long he lasted, and that, I think he was basically in the gym doing something at least. As for Joshua, skill-wise, he's okay. Okay, he's not got the. I don't think he's got it with him to actually dominate like a Klitschko did for 10 years. He's not going to be active as much. I think Hearn's mentioned there that he was wanting to get him out three times next year. Where we're talking about he's only going to be fighting twice. But it's all said and done. I don't think he's going to be around for much longer. I really don't. You know, I think he'd probably be here for 2, 3, maybe 4 years tops, and that'll be it. People have already asked, you know, is he the best heavyweight since Lennox Lewis, and that, or is he the greatest heavyweight since Lennox Lewis? That is complete nonsense. It's just absolute hype. It's just billboard action. It's just unbelievable. The hype run about this guy. We've caught it for years. It's absolutely incredible. He is a good fighter. You know, I can't take it away from him. He has got heart. Skill-wise, skill set base, he's decent. But I think at some point he is going to get caught. And the worst it is to this division, this heavyweight division now, even though it's been shaken up deep down, I think it's poor, and it's deeply, deeply poor. I think it's just going to be, at this point, people shout on Klitschko for a fair bit. If Joshua does the same going through this reign and this heavyweight division, he's going to cop the same criticism and stuff. And people can say, I think this heavyweight division is actually weaker compared to Vladimir's era.
I see similarities, definitely, Andy. I agree with you. The Box Bet Beast jumps in reply to his own question. He said, I think the criticism of AJ is harsh, not his fault that fanboys and Sky have put him on such a high pedestal. He dealt with a rugged opponent. Okay, fair enough. I wouldn't really disagree with any of that. Fair enough. Box Bet Beast is entitled to his opinion. Donnie, you were on last night, but for those who haven't heard you yet, jump in now and tell us what you think. A question for the pod, actually, from 0110. He says, as mentioned, a peak Tyson Fury probably beats AJ. But do you think, Donnie, that Huey Fury could beat AJ? Do you really think so, Don?
Well, he'd have to learn to actually throw punches when he has a chance. because he had a chance at a fake version of the heavyweight title, and he decided not to throw punches. I don't, you know, he's no Willie Pep. He's not winning the title without throwing a punch. But in short, I think he's too small and, you know, would just be overpowered and And I mean, I mean, he has certain. No, Hubie Fury has a very good jab when he cares to use it. You know, he's pretty slick defensively, but no. I mean, no chance at all.
Just looking at last night, then, Donny, you might reiterate a few points you made in the post-fight pod, but tell me your overall assessment.
Yeah, I think the word that I used was underwhelming. It was underwhelming in many respects. You know, I mean, this is, as Andy was just saying, this is exactly the sort of thing that that Vlad Klitschko used to do all the time. Guys that you would think he would take out in a couple of rounds and totally dispatch them of you know in short order. He didn't do that with Takam. I'm not even saying he necessarily was capable for it, but he certainly didn't go for it. Maybe Takam punches harder than we realize, and maybe he had a little bit too much respect for what was coming back at him. But I mean, in general, you know, it wasn't a very exciting performance. And this guy is, you know, supposed to be one of the most exciting fighters to come along in British boxing in a very, very long time. So, you know, I mean, it just, I think he failed to not only excite the audience. I mean, you know, they probably went home happy, I guess, but you know, at the end of the day, he did get a stoppage, even though it was bullshit. But I mean, that was one of, that's probably the worst stoppage I've seen that doesn't involve Ian John Lewis. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah. So I mean, maybe they went home happy. But yeah, I think that a fighter of a really high caliber would have put away Takam early, and it didn't happen. And I'm not saying that Joshua isn't a good fighter. I'm just saying I don't see him as an elite fighter that can reign as for as long as Klitschko did. I just don't see that happening. I think that that he left a lot to be desired last night.
Yeah, I think we maybe needed a bit of Steve Schmoger being thrown in there. Tommy, a question came in from Scott Carpenter, which I'll throw out to you. He said, if you could choose any heavyweight from history to come back in their prime and derail the Joshua hype train in humiliating fashion, who would you pick to get the job done? Scott said he would go with a prime Lennox Lewis, making him look foolish for six rounds before putting him to sleep late on.
I've actually been thinking about what you're saying last night with Riddick Bowe and Joshua and just how one side that would be, because Bo just had so many different dimensions to his game. He could chew him up on the outside. He would absolutely eat him alive on the inside. Granite chin. Absolute. At his best, could go for 12 rounds. I'd like to see the both. I think Bo would absolutely rip and smash him to bits. So I'd go for that one, Steve-O.
Tell me about last night as well then, Tommy. What did you see from Mr. Takam? Nice bit of head movement, bit of bobbing and weaving. Gave Joshua something to think about.
He was kind of implementing a wee shoulder roll that at times. He was moving his head. And as we touched on last night, for about round six onwards, he kind of started backing Joshua up, didn't he? Joshua kind of went to back foot when he was tired with the wee man coming forward. I don't think he was ever winning I don't think he was ever going to win the fight, and I never gave him any rounds last night. I thought Joshua won every round, but it was some new Joshua I seen. Should have been left to continue. We said it last night. We touched on this about an hour last night on this fight, but the stoppage was terrible. Joshua was going to win. We all know that, but he didn't like to see that in the ring. I thought the referee was. He was looking to pull Takam out of there. I thought he was looking to pull him out with the cut. He took him over a couple of times when it looked like the corner had the cut under control at a point, and he was still getting the doctor to check it. He was looking to get him out of there, and the first opportunity he did, that's exactly what he'd done. Terrible stoppage. Absolute shit pay-per-view. I didn't pay for it. I watched it online on an HD stream. It was brilliant. That's where we'll be watching the Hey Bailey pay-per-view as well, because that'll likely have a shitty undercard in that. So
Team stream, baby.
Team stream all the way, man. But I actually watched Mr. Akkad last night. I don't know what he's all seen, but it was fucking horrible, man. Jeez, oh.
Wasn't the greatest, Tommy. We've had a few questions coming in regarding the likes of Nelson and Bellew and Frotch, which we'll be getting to later as well. It wasn't great, the analysts and the commentary team, was it, like?
No, man, they were poor again last night. They're just They're just shills, aren't they, for company men, for the fighters, aren't they? You're half expecting Bailey just to jump into that ring sometimes, drop to his knees and take Anthony Joshua right in his throat, eh? It's kind of worth it to listen to, man. Sky used to be, back in the day, and that, we talk about old Sky used to be a great team, me and Dark. I like Dean Dark, even with Barry McGuigan, Big Glenn, Jim Watt when he was a bit younger. I thought they were all superb together, growing up listening to these guys. But it's all buddies, act. They're all clique in there now, and you're not getting a true reflection of a fight.
What does Tony Smith look like with all these stretch marks?
Exactly, man.
That's his new posh voice, isn't it? His new posh voice that he's got now.
He's got a new posh voice, and Carol Fox has got a new posh nose, eh? Fucking hell.
Adam Smith got a new posh ring piece. Anyway, let's move on. We have a couple of old names from the past jumped on with us. We'll be getting to them very shortly. Before we do so, let's bring in Ozzie Smith, another who was on the call last night. Ozzie, question from Chris Adams. Bear with me, it's on the longer side. He said, I know you covered this last night, but I've noticed that the only fighter to be heavily criticised by the Sky team was Dillian White, and to be fair, he deserved it. But everyone deserved it. White seemed to bear the front, especially from Nelson and Bellew. There was no excuses made for him, which again is refreshing, but in my opinion, they weren't being good analysts. There was an agenda behind it. Out of the whole Matchroom stable, White isn't up Eddie's arse and doesn't like him. That's evident from his interviews. And just thought, especially Bellew, he's already written his criticisms to White prior to the fight. Do you think the same, Ozzy?
I think the criticism probably was justified. When he says everybody else, does he mean everybody else on the entire card? Because I think, like, to criticise Katie Taylor or someone like that, her fight saved the night. Carl Yafai, is he the big... For Carl Yafai, he probably should be criticised of sort when you've got your promoter saying you're the best superfly in the world. For me, he should be dealing with people like Shoshida a lot better than he did. Then came out and said he had hand problems. But going back to Dillian White, is there a bit of hatred towards him? Possibly. If he's not part of the Matchroom clique, if you were to call it, which Bellew is one of the head honchos of, and he doesn't ring lick Eddie Hearn, quite possibly. But at the same time, it's all self-inflicted. Dillian White wouldn't have got criticised if he'd have dispatched Robert Hellenius in 6, 7, 8 rounds. Instead, it got been into a bit of essentially a sparring session. It was boring, it was flat. And I think it was fully deserved and, like you mentioned, quite refreshing that Sky have actually criticised one of the home fighters for once, even when they've won. Because usually you don't get any of that, so particularly in the Nick Hawling days when he would make out like Dillian White's this unbelievable performance and he's destroyed Hellenius. So it's a bit of a difficult one. Is it preemptive? Not sure. I mean, I don't think Bellew particularly liked White because I know White was outspoken about saying he'd like to smash Bellew to pieces. So maybe there's a bit of an agenda there.
Yeah, but thanks, Ozzy. Right, let's get Amir Khan on the call. Amir, it's been a while since we've heard from you. What did you see last night that interested you?
Fuck all, really. It was a shit fight. I've not watched boxing for a while because I've been put off by the shit matchups. And yesterday, I was half expecting a competitive fight. So I watched the Dillian White fight. When I started seeing that, I thought White hasn't really bothered trying because he's getting paid regardless who he's fighting. And then Hearn just put this Hellenius in there. You could tell Hellenius didn't want to be in there. You could just tell he was scared. And you could tell he was getting hurt with the body shots. But if you're the body snatcher, then you're meant to take people out with the body shots. And that didn't happen from what I could see. The fucking stream crashed, so I didn't see the ending. But when it went on points, I wasn't surprised. So that was a bit of a disappointment. And Sky slagging White off is a bit of a... I don't know, why didn't they slag Femi off? Because Femi were like the greatest fighter since Ali in there, so I don't get that. Moving on to the Femi fight, I just think Femi's... I think Klitschko's taken a lot out of him, you know. I don't know what you guys think. It's like he weren't the same fighter. He's put more weight on. Mm. You were punching air all night. I think even even Big Tommy Allen could have got in there and had a chance, you know. It wasn't... Honestly, you were missing so much, I couldn't believe it. And you know when Heavy Mates miss, as I watched a Deontay Wilder interview a bit after, very respectful, not killing Femi off. He was saying, you know, when you're that heavy and you're missing that them kind of power shots, it takes a lot out of you.
What about Wilder against Joshua? Amir, what about Wilder against Joshua? How do you think that'd go?
I think Wilder beats him because Wilder's lighter. His physique is more suited to boxing. You don't know what his chin's like. The only thing is with Wilder, I don't know if he'll come head on. And Femi likes hunting people down. But then we saw that last night. He tried hunting this guy down and this guy didn't have any answers. But Wilder, I think on the back foot, has power or maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I think when it comes to him and Wilder, I think Wilder might knock him out. But then again, Femi could knock him out. It's a close fight.
Or it could be a draw.
It could. It probably will be in here, and the referee will probably fuck it up like last night.
What about your man Tony Bellew? What do you think of him on the microphone?
He was an absolute disgrace. He was really not honest. Carl French, as we all know, isn't honest. He just chats shit. He tried sitting on the fence to stop it by saying, it was a good decision for the referees to stop it because he knows what's what. And then he went back to the George Groves fight. He then said that was a good decision to stop it. With all the stick he got afterwards, and he said, it should have been carried on. I wanted to absolutely demolish him and kill him. And the same thing could have been said last night. To be honest with you, with that fight, with the way Joshua retiring, he could have got caught himself. You don't know, do you?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean,
did Joshua look like he did, like with Klitschko, when at the end of the fight? I've not seen the end of the fight. The stream crashed again.
He was starting to tire and Takam was coming on, but Takam didn't have the power to hurt him, but he landed about one punch out of like a four-punch combination and the referee jumped in prematurely in my eyes.
So basically, even us could have like dodged them punches because he was missing so much, wasn't he? He was absolutely disgraced, Joshua. What were you doing? Mm. His excuse is that he was preparing for someone he didn't know who we were fighting, which is true, but then again, he gets paid millions of pounds. It's his job. He should do a good job, right? And all those fans are absolutely pissed off because you tell at the end they were absolutely raging.
Yeah, they were booing. They were booing the stoppage.
It knows now that you can't have a shit fight next. I think next fight will be a big one. I think it will probably be Parker. That's my gut instinct. Wilder's wanting too much money.
Mm. Excellent stuff, Amir. Good to hear from you again.
Nice one. See you later. Bye.
Bye. Amir Khan there, ladies and gentlemen. Another name from the past, Paul David, is on the call now. Paul Webb is dead. Paul David is back. You were there last night, Paul, weren't you?
I was indeed.
Tell me all about it.
It was an experience, I have to say. It wasn't the best, obviously, that Joshua's fought, but he still won pretty much every round.
Paul, can we just clarify that you were one of the people that were booing Eddie?
Oh, everyone was. That was the crowd was actually quite strange, right? Because you expect it to be, and it was uber casual. There was a lad in front of me, he turned around and said, "I've not bought a program. Who's on the card?" Like, he had no clue about Cal Yafai, Dillian White, Katie Taylor, etc. But they gave Takam a really good round of applause, booed the stoppage to the point where they didn't show the stoppage very quickly in the stadium. It took them a long time, but when they eventually did, that got roundly booed, and then of course Hearn got a bit of stick. It was I can't explain to you, it was quite a weird experience. I've done stadium fights before, I've done a few, Hatton and Frotch Groves, but the show didn't seem to flow particularly well. The undercard wasn't the best, to put it politely. None of the fights seemed to be, apart from Katie Taylor's, which I enjoyed, the rest of it. I'll be honest, from where I was sat, and it's no exaggeration, I got up to my seat, Cal Yafai and Ishida were in, and I'd left my glasses in the car, and I just thought, oh shit, I'm in for a long night here, because I generally couldn't tell who was who, and that's not exaggerating, so, and it's not like they even look remotely similar, so I was a bit panicked, but then when Dillian and Hellenius were in, I thought, okay, I can see a bit better now, but I did spend most of the time watching it on the screens, to be fair, but Josh, he's allowed an off night, he's had a pretty consistently good career. Everyone knows he's not perfect. Everyone knows he's got flaws. I thought he came in too heavy. I think he can't get away with that against certain opponents. And also, I will say the crowd, I think the point was just made a minute ago, the next fight has to be a big one because the crowd was a bit disinterested in the end. And as much as you think Joshua has got this particularly unique number of fans that no one else can come close to, there's only so much of that type of opponent. There's only so many Moliners and Brazils and Takams that they'll want to see. Even though, like I said, I thought Takam was quite good and he made Joshua look very basic. I think there's a bit where I realised it was going to be a bit of a long night when, I don't know what round it was, mid-round, Joshua threw a left jab and then rather than follow it up or do anything, he just sort of took two steps back while he was still jabbing. And he fought a very negative, I thought he fought a fairly negative fight, but got the win and got the stoppage.
We had a question in actually, Paul. I'm going to hit you with it from Ricky Gravel. He said, after last night's performance, do you think it's possible that Alexander Usyk could outpoint Joshua?
I think anyone that's quick on their feet, mobile enough, and are able to take the occasional shot has a chance. Like, no, first of all, no heavyweight's stay unbeaten. And even though you lot all know I'm a fan of Joshua's, I've always said he will lose at some point, months, 2 years, because they always do. All the best heavyweights pretty much end up losing. Someone like a Usyk or, you know, a Fury style, of which there is only one, Tyson Fury, there's no one else in the heavyweight division who fights that way, could cause him problems. At the end of the day, Takam wasn't massively mobile. What he was doing was he was moving his hands around a lot and he was almost sort of like circling his fists, and it was as if Takam was a big target. You know, he might only be 6'1", but he was still at his 16 stone lump and he just couldn't seem to tie him down. So if you're someone a bit fleet of foot like Usyk or certainly like Tyson, then yeah, potentially. I don't think we're going to see someone probably knock Joshua out, but I think the chance of seeing him outboxed is very much a possibility. If they don't look at their wrongs from this fight, I mean, so I won't criticise too much, but he's shown some vulnerabilities certainly in his last two fights, and he's gone 21 rounds in those two fights. So the idea of him being this kind of dynamite puncher, which I think we all knew was maybe a slight exaggeration, certainly seems to be that way.
Next three fights, not what you would like to see, but what you think they will go for. I believe they'll have the Pulev fight late February, early March, and then go on to Wilder or maybe Parker in September. What do you think next three fights?
I think they've got a throwaway fight. So they're on about doing a fight either in America or in somewhere random. And I do think they'll probably try and do that. I think that might be the next one. And I think that could be a Pulev. I think Parker's the most obvious fight to make right now. I think that's a fight they should definitely try and push for. And then Wilder, probably towards the end of next year. I think those are your next three. Watching the Dillian White, I don't want that. Never wanted the rematch anyway. Certainly don't want it again after last night's showing. And I think Wilder is potentially the easiest of the three opponents. But I know I think Parker next, but I would expect they shoe on Pulev in, and the nose will be an excuse to push a fight back till potentially as late as April next year. I don't think we'll see him any closer than that. I think it'll be potentially two fights again next year, which for someone in their absolute prime like he is, I think it's a complete waste. But that just, when you're making that much money, and that just seems to be how Sky work, they don't want to seem to get him out all that often.
Paul, just before we let you go, just one final thing. Obviously, the Dark Side of Boxing, a few weeks ago, a ruck outside a boxing show in Warsaw ended up with a young lad having his throat slashed or something, and he died. Any more information you can give on that, or what the surroundings were, or the aftermath?
Well, the aftermath is the show that was meant to be scheduled the following day has now been pushed back right until the new year, so it's not going to be happening until February. There, Ricky Summers versus Joe Sheriff, which is a light heavyweight title fight that was going to be on at the Town Hall next month, has now been moved to Bilston. There's nothing to say that they won't put shows on at the Town Hall, but I don't know whether it's not bad decorum to go back there so soon, but it's a difficult one. I think in terms of the surrounding events, the events were quite clear. Anyone's seen the video, the events are quite clear. One of the home fans, after getting a bit of goading from some of the Derby supporters, threw a cup. The Derby supporters threw back chairs. The ruck was really well dealt with by the security. They managed to get everybody out and shut the doors. It was a lot of energy very quickly, but they handled it a lot better than certainly we saw at the likes of the Groves Cox fight the same night. But unfortunately, the young lad, Reagan, was killed. From what I've only seen on the news, they've arrested people for assisting an offender, but the actual guy who's done it has scarpered by the sounds of the report. So really horrible for all involved. I think it's obviously you guys will have touched on it. I'm sure, like, the violence it shows at the show last night, there was only one or two little skirmishes I saw. But it's horrible. And the guys that worked so hard on these, on, especially on the small hall circuit where there is no money in it, to have shows cancelled and to have the reputation tarnished, and seeing, you know, friends of mine, you know, on the news having to kind of defend what they're doing. And it's a shame because they work so hard for it, and all the lads on the shows do as well. But the behaviour at boxing shows has to change, and I don't think it will until this kind of separation of the darts culture. But you can get away with it in darts because you're watching people throw, you know, darts at a board. You're not watching a fight. You don't have these kind of intense rivalries. But it wasn't like we've had before. It wasn't like it was Warsaw football fans fighting Derby fans. It was just a lad from Warsaw fighting a lad from Derby. There was no build up. There was a fight on 4 days' notice. There was nothing antagonising between the two sets of fans or anything like that at all. It was just, you know, someone was giving verbals and someone threw a cup, and then some lads ended up, you know, bleeding to death in the street. And it's awful. I feel like that's like where he's sounding, really. Hopefully the guy gets caught and put away for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody on the pod echoes your sentiments. Paul, good to hear from you again. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
Bye. Paul David there, formerly known as Press Pass Paul, formerly known as Paul Webb. Don't know how many more names he's got. Andy, I was going to come to you with a question, but I noticed you're putting in the chat there about Sarah Lanz are looking to make Dillian White against her. Is this Filip Hrgović? He's a fledgling Croatian heavyweight.
I had it was either last week or this week he had a knockout victory. Sarah Lanz, I'd seen him tweeting out earlier on there that actually they were trying to get this fight made. Fucking no chance I can see his fight getting made in. I mean, White's going to be sitting on that WBC spot for a while. Actually, I can't see him trying to take any risks whatsoever unless it's Joshua, Wilder. I thought that's only two fights I can maybe see him kind of probably sitting with. I can't really see him kind of getting in. Maybe like a Manny Char, for example, maybe make that type of fight. That is the type of level he's going to be facing until he gets a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to fight the Croat, I don't think. I mean, It's not so much, you know, about his experience and his background and stuff like that. It's like, you know, can you imagine, you know, what would happen to White if he actually did lose to like a 1-0 novice, so to speak?
Yeah, I know exactly. It probably won't happen, to be honest with you. Yeah, we'll be going on to Brian McBrant later and previewing all the stuff next week. There isn't an awful lot. There's a lot of Bellew of the week, so I've had to purge quite a few. We have a lot. We've got Tommy with us, though, still. Ozzy, Donny, and Andy Patterson. A couple of guests coming on at some point during the evening. No, Rob Kelly, I was going to hit him with this question, so instead I think I'll hit you with it, Tommy. It's come from Joe Ringer. He says, following on from last night's discussion on the pod, how much longer can we keep bringing Tyson Fury into the heavyweight equation for? He hasn't fought in 2 years. He's failed at least one drugs test that we know of, and he's walking around at 25 stone plus. Now, Joe says, I'm a big fan and think he beats everyone out there, but at what point does he become completely irrelevant in any conversation regarding the top fighters? It's like talking about Ike Ibeabuchi in the 2000s, just totally pointless. He's got a point there, Tom.
The weight's on Tyson, but I'm still in the camp where the testers came out and says straight away that the field test likely came for contaminated food. I think that Tyson should have been gave the benefit of the doubt. He should have been allowed to continue his career with a boxing license until pretty much you're innocent until proven guilty, until they'd had the hearing and this was sorted out. We shouldn't have took his license until he had failed the cocaine test. Is cocaine really such a big deal that's going to keep you at the sport for a matter of years in this day and age? Come on now. It's people's choice what they want to do. If people want to go out and take drugs, if they want to take recreational drugs, it's 2017, it's no 1950 now. Fine them, give them a warning. Get back in the ring. I think the board's had a nightmare here. I'm not going to turn around and say, like the Furies are suggesting, there's some sort of conspiracy against him, but they've definitely handled it wrong. As I say, the weight's on Tyson, he really needs to get his arse back in the gym now, get himself in some serious condition, get a fight around March, April, and then he's probably going to need two tune-up fights now, and look for a big one at the end of the year. He really needs to get the weight shifted. If it drags on in that now, he's cleared, he'll probably get an Irish license now. There's nothing against him. They've said they wouldn't license him well. They saw that hearing hanging over him. That's cleared up. He can go and get that now, and he needs to get his arse back in back in the ring. There's no excuses for him now. He's got to fight. He's got to kick on now, Tyson. If we're still sitting here next summer, he's no fought and he's still sitting at 25 stone, I'll be the first to turn and say that he's blew it.
Eddie Hearn said last night, actually, I actually watched my first Eddie Hearn interview in I don't know how many fucking months, but he came out and says, do you hear this, by the way, there is no end to Eddie's magic. Tyson needs to speak to me. I'll get him in shape.
I'm not one to slag anybody about their weight, but you need to get yourself in fucking shape, man. Saggy tits here.
Taylor Davis, man, fucking hell. Need the fucking widescreen fucking cameras for him in the ring, fat bastard.
Good to have you back anyway, Tommy.
Sorry, mate, what are you saying?
I'm just saying it's good to have you back, back on the scene, because Rio Tonka was asking after you, saying where'd you been, because you haven't been on for the last few weeks.
Ah, I spoke to him earlier, yeah. I just noticed I came back on last night and the views were right up, eh? So I'm sitting about 9,000 on YouTube just now, probably about 30,000 on iTunes as well, so he'll be glad to see me back, boys. More exposure for you, isn't it?
Always glad.
Hey, I think you've hit the mute button, Steve.
Yeah, sorry, I had to mute it there because some adverts started playing on my laptop really quickly. I think it was an advert for a hotel. Them ones that you get sent. You're a master of them, Andy.
I don't know who sends them ones. It's always like, you know, you always get caught with them. It's like some fucking like scene, and then you get this fucking woman squealing like a fucking raging thing.
Gabe always falls for them, doesn't he? Gabe
constantly falls for them. Constantly catching it.
That reminds me back in the days on the forums. Remember, like on the forums, the V-Bulletin sites used to be able to disguise URLs on it. So, Big Ben, Bennett used to be involved with the Boxing Asylum. Big Paul Williams fan, eh? So posted the link that Paul Williams had failed a drugs test. He was at his work, eh? Remember the spinning cork thing that used to go around the moon? The one that used to flash through your screen, you couldn't turn it off. So aye, Ben's at work and the fucking spinning cocks are going around his screen. He couldn't get them off. His manager standing behind him. It was brilliant, man.
You're one of them people, aren't you, Tommy, that tweets out like, oh, the boxing is live free on channel 9 something another, aren't
you? I've done that a few times. I got about 200 retweets of that a couple of years ago doing that, man. I see it happen all the time now. Brilliant, man.
Donny, just going back to the fight before we move on to the fantastic undercard, Andrew McCormick sent in a question for you. I was actually wondering this myself, watching the fight last night. How long are the referees going to let AJ throw shots after the bell has gone? It has happened in most of his fights, and he keeps getting away with it, Donny.
That's actually funny. I hadn't noticed that. In other words, I did notice it last night, but I hadn't noticed that he's had a habit of doing it in every fight. But yeah, I think for as long as he keeps fighting at home, that's obviously an advantage. I mean, can you imagine, can you actually fucking imagine Hearn's face or something if they DQ'd Joshua for hitting after the bell? I mean, like, can you literally imagine that? It would never, first of all, it would never happen. And if it did happen, it would be the scandal of the century. No, yeah, that basically, I think he can probably keep getting away with it. That is the privilege of being the home fighter, and the privilege that comes with being a star is as big as he is.
I can't remember it happening many times in the past. That's especially a big name fighter. Roy Jones is about the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah,
to fight, but it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Fucking here anyway, is it?
No, because there's a few matching fighters do it. I know Anthony Fowler hit somebody down, didn't they? I know Joshua did it against Kevin Johnson, and another fighter did it. Wasn't it Okole? I think, you know, his springy arm started hitting somebody when they were down as well.
Yep. That was on the Fowler. That was in the same night as Fowler, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that's
three, prospects, three prospects that night. The Freedom, didn't it?
Yep, that's right.
Cardena, the other one. It might not have been Cardena. Maybe somebody else.
Yep. Just before we move on to the undercard and I bring Ozzy in to give us his lowdown, Michael Davis sent in a comment. Actually, he said Dorian Dartch, who was supposed to fight Dave Allen, turned the Dave Allen fight down at Wembley at Cardiff, it must have been, as he has agreed to fight Daniel Dubois on the 9th of December card at the Copper Box. So Dorian Dartch is fighting Dubois on the 9th of December. Ozzy, tell us about this undercard. I know that Paul Webb went through it a little bit. We had Dillian White looking pretty poor against Hellenius. Katie Taylor winning the world title, which is great and everything. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys who will just be shrugging, I suppose, at that. And then Cal Yafai, who I just cannot get up for at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. Dillian White fight. I think your chief support's supposed to, you know, try and get the crowd going, get a bit of an atmosphere, and all it did was send people to sleep. And the corner must have fallen asleep because they barely told him anything after about 8 rounds. Kali Afai, I echo again. They talk him up like he's absolutely outstanding. They've been saying he's like the best superfly in the world. Bollocks. Utter rubbish. But these lies, it's like your less knowledgeable fans will believe because certain people say it. And it is utter tripe. Now, they're on about sending him to America now and to box over there. So a lot of him in terms of like possibly in the UK again because the bigger fights are over there. Do I see him beating any of the top 5 or 6? Probably not. And they say he can only fight twice here now because he's got real bad hands. Katie Taylor, yeah, brilliant. Really enjoyed the fight and I think basically, if it was two blokes in there, we'd have been saying what a good scrap it was. So just because it was two women, it doesn't take anything away. Really enjoyable fight. The Argentinian woman was a real tough fucker. Fucking hell. She could certainly, she could punch as well, but a decent fight. And it would be good, I guess, to see Katie Taylor go and box on a Ryan Burnett show. Co-headline with her. She's a world champion now. I don't really know a lot about women's boxing, so I've no idea whether she'll try and unify. They copped a lot of stick purely for the fact that they put this pay-per-view out and then lads like Buatsi, Akoli, Cordina, they didn't get any airtime, whether it be on a stream or as a floater or anything. And I think, without taking the piss, people were genuinely disappointed that they didn't get to see them. That I saw a tweet before about some Barb stats that on one of the Next Gen shows, Akoli and Buatsi got about 20,000 views.
Seen that? 18,000 was the figure I seen, mate.
Yeah, so that's real good coverage and like publicity for them. And what did they get on this one? 0, because nobody could watch them. And I think that's a real balls up. And I really don't understand it. Like they push basically Conor Benn, who's got barely any talent. He's just got a last name of a former world champion. He got lads like Buatsi, Akoli, Cordina, the only Welsh lad on the card, and they don't get any airtime at all. Really bizarre. The undercard was an utter shambles, but I had my rant about it last night, and I think the less said about it now, the better.
No, I think you make some good points, Ozzy. The whole Sky thing seems to be so strange. You'd think now with the fact that they're having paid pay-per-view, you'd actually be getting more fights, but you're not getting quantity or quality. They can't say, oh, we only have to keep it down to the way HBO do. You're getting 4 fights, all of championship-level quality. You know, you're getting less fights, it seems. There seems to be more adverts being pumped all the time, more of these promos all the time. The quality of the fights we are watching aren't that good, and they're actually taking guys off the cards. The whole thing seems to be going down the chutes.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And like I say, some of me thinks that they just promote fighters with a bit of personality rather than some of the talent. Like, I just don't understand this point. I think Eddie's in it for the money sometimes and to try and make the big money fights. But I said it last night, make these cards up with good, honest 50-50 fights, 60-40s, and people will be happy. When it's a pay-per-view, I'm not fussed about seeing 4 world title fights and a couple of European title fights. If the fights are good and they're competitive, I don't care what they're boxed for. It can be for a chip shot belt or it can be for a legitimate belt. Nobody cares as long as they're competitive. And he just seemingly has no interest in it. He cries pauper and says there's just not the money for that. Bullshit. He's too bothered about lining his own pockets and obviously Anthony Joshua's pockets than anybody else. Now, I watched Joe Cordina's interview after the fight. He genuinely looked pissed off. Basically, it was a big night for him. Don't get me wrong, he's not the attraction, but he's a Welsh lad. And he just basically said that he was, in a nutshell, messed around. And the whole thing was rushed. He was thrown on at 10 o'clock. The fight needed to be done for quarter past because of American TV with the walk-ons. And then, obviously, the first bell ringing at half 10. Now, what does that say to you about one of your prospects? You're 4-0, but you need to go and get this done ASAP because I've got the main event coming. You'd rather just stick him on earlier, and you can't put him on after it. That's shown with Dave Allen, as much as they mentioned about his back injury, but I think he still would have boxed. Time runs out, and these guys go on without doing anything, so they get warmed up, hands wrapped, for utterly nothing in the end.
Ozzy, did you see Hearn's comment saying that he went to the broadcasters, got into bothering that for trying to push to get Cordina shown?
Bullshit, I thought... He contradicts himself all the time. I thought he made every decision.
Exactly. Exactly. And he said it on this podcast when we had him on here a few years back. He said the exact same thing.
I remember it a while ago, actually. Adam Etches, after he was stopped by Kamitsky, came back against some pudding. And he wasn't originally scheduled for television. But because of a few knockouts, Sky said, we're putting him on. And he was completely... Basically, just said, look, Eddie, we don't care what you say. He's going on because we say he is. So it's utter tripe. He just says what, basically, lies and he thinks people will forget. And it's not true because people are clever these days and with social media and YouTube videos, all it takes is going back and watching old footage and you pick it up and then you just go, oh, hang on, you said this. And he comes out with more lies. But no, I've got to admit, I think last night was really... a show to forget, because I know when Joshua was walking to the ring as well, I saw Chris McKenna from the Daily Star. They said there was a power cut, so the music went down, all the television, the radio, they were all struggling. And just before Buffer went on the mic, the generator kicked in again. So imagine that, you're live.
Miraculous.
Yeah, you're live on pay-per-view and there's no power, so you can't hear anything. Yeah,
still wouldn't have got a refund.
No, definitely not.
Talking of great shows.
Sorry, mate, I was just going to say, yep. Scotty RFC came out with a good one, actually. Apparently, Pulev's mum had to go to the fight last night because Eddie wouldn't give her a refund.
Surely that's a piss take, surely.
Very good. Tommy, talking of excellent shows with excellent production, Kingsman has been in touch. He said, do you think that Fat Mick's brief spell with YouTube is over? Surely they can't sell another Huey fight now he got beat. I think it was just a flag of convenience, wasn't it, really, for Mick? He couldn't get it anywhere else. I don't think he gives a shit about YouTube as much as anywhere else.
Depends if he's got another house to remortgage or no, eh? I think that's probably the last I've seen of Big Mickey. Saying that, the Furies are loyal guys. You'll probably entice in this comeback. He'll still be involved there somewhere. He'll still be involved with Hugh as well. But so for his own shows, nah. We're not going to see McKenna doing any more shows again, are we? They rolled the dice with that and it backfired big time, didn't it?
So, and they did, Tommy. Rio Tonka had been asking about what happened to the Gorman versus Webb fight. That's the Nick Webb versus Nathan Gorman fight. As far as I know, it's taking place in Newcastle for the British title on the 11th of November. Isn't it, Ozzy? Yeah.
Shame, it was a real good fight, and I thought Nick Webb had pulled out, but there's a few conflicting messages flying around. Nathan Gorman is still on the bill, and he's going to box Mo Saltby.
Right.
Now, he's an undefeated heavyweight, 12-0. I think he's from, I can't remember what country he's from, but he was actually signed by Frank Warren. You know when they went, they just signed the deal with BT?
Oh, yes, I do remember this guy. Yes.
Now, they said they were going to bring him over. Now, he's had a couple of fights since. One was on a small hall show at the Bowlers. I think it might have been a Kieran Farrell show. And he was put on the Newcastle card, presumably just to try and raise his profile of sort. Anyway, something's gone on with this Nick Webb fight, and they've matched them together now. I've no idea how good Saltby is. His record is pretty average. There's no standout wins, but it's a 12-0 against 11-0. I know, but I mentioned Billy Nelson last night. He said Saltby looks a lot better than Webb. So it does make for a decent scrap. I actually thought that Dubois, with that English title fight becoming available, whether they were going to chuck him in for that. But if it's a case of he's in with Dorian Darch, obviously not.
Yes, before we move on to Brian McBrand, Donny, I don't know if you want to talk, say anything about it, but I believe you were at a Hall of Fame dinner last night. We saw pictures of you with Marlon Starling. How did that go?
Donny's still hungover. He was hanging out at Mickey Ward's arse last night.
Donny. Okay, we shall endeavour to try and get Donny back on. Don't know what's happened to him. Maybe he's on his boat again. Andy, let's bring you in this one then. The card in Germany, Friday night. Nice crisp HD on ITV4 for us. Jürgen Bremer really outfoxing, outboxing. Rob Brandt over 12 rounds, scores of 116, 112, 119, 109 and 118, 110. Brandt, he looked pretty average, to be honest with you. No great power, looked small for the weight. He did this strange habit of going to throw a punch and then stopping halfway through as Bremer just shuffled his feet. And Bremer was catching him all night with right hooks, left hands, nice lefts to the body as well. Just a touch of experience for Bremer. He pulled the wool over our eyes, didn't he, really?
Exactly that, mate. Just, I mean, there's not really much else you can say about the fight other than that. His experience saw him through. I really did think he was going to have a wee bit of problems considering how bad he looked at the weigh-in. He was fucking at death's door. He didn't seem to rehydrate all that well either, actually, when I saw him in the ring walks. But, you know, he gave me his due, I suppose, you know, in there, done the business. A few injuries, picked up a few cuts and stuff. But, to be honest, I've never seen Brandt before. And you can see why. He wasn't all that great, as you say. Wildly beaten. Just on the undercard, I suppose. I watched Vinny the Doorman, Feigenboots. Again, this guy, I don't know how he keeps getting the chances and stuff. There's no point for Sirlin actually pushing this guy. He is absolutely dog shit. I mean, the Argentinian guy that he fought, okay, he was brave, okay, he was tough, but so it's probably one of these Argentinians that actually slipped through the net. It was actually kind of semi-decent, but at the same time, if Feigenboots should be really kind of dealing with this if he's like meant to be world level and all that sort of shit. He's absolutely awful. Just like recap, I suppose, on the WBS and that. I mean, the semi-finals coming up, I think, you know, great fights all around, actually, you know, early part next year. Bremer, Smith, Groves against who's he fighting again?
Eubank.
And the cruiserweights and that as well, looking really good. But as I said at the top of the show, that as well, I'd read somewhere that the Gazaev fight potentially at the front runners for a venue there is for Russia and Miami for some reason. But aye, fair play to Bremer, mate. Done the best he could. Other person undercard I had a wee bit of interest in, I've still not seen the fight yet, is Abdul Khatib, wee Palestinian born kid. He was getting a bit of push off Kessler early during his careers and stuff. He got an 8-round draw there again. On Saturday, he had always had problems with his gas tank, got knocked out in his last fight and stuff, so it was another rebuild job. The guy's fighting kind of semi-experienced, but at the same time, I'm not holding out much hopes for this guy. I think he's going to be lucky if he gets to that second tier European title, kind of that EU title. He'll be lucky if he gets that far.
Yeah, I said at the beginning of the show we had two guests coming on. Amir and Paul actually weren't them. We're still holding out hope for one of our guests, but unfortunately Dave Allen, the big heavyweight we were supposed to come on, has cried off. He said he's knackered after a hectic week, but he has got paid. So good news, he has got paid, but he's not coming on this week, unfortunately. Lucky for our listeners, one man who is coming on is Rob Kelly. He's just jumped on the call. Rob, just before I bring you in about Joshua and Takam, I was just going to ask Tommy, actually, just to expand on what Andy was talking about there. Tommy, I know you didn't see the Bremer-Brandt fight, but what do you think about the semi-final so far? Bremer against Smith now is coming up. Groves against Eubank is obviously the standout. Two good fights to look forward to.
Definitely. We've spoken about Callum Smith-Holton here. I've seen in the past he's potentially world class. He's still very raw in that. He's still got a lot to work on, especially lateral movement and that. But I think he'll handle Bremer. He'll get to the final, and I think he'll lose the final. For me, Eubank's got this tournament. I think he's going to take George Groves out late. I think he's just going to be too fit. He's going to bring too much. I think he's got his old man's toughness, and I think he's going to stop George late. But whoever wins that fight, I think they've got the final. I don't think Callum Smith, I don't think he's good at his luck to beat either the two of them. I'm really looking forward to the cruiserweights as well. I've made my man Bredas. I've picked him for the start. Any one of the guys could really turn around and win it, but I'm going to stick with my pick. I can't wait for that Doricots Cassia fight. That's going to be something else as well. Really looking forward to this. Just a shame. We've been talking about going to some of the fights. Now, I'm definitely going to the semi-final to watch Usyk against Bredas, and I probably went to the final as well, but I'm not going to Saudi Arabia, so you can kiss my ass.
No Saudi Arabia for Tommy. Rob's on the call, as we said, another one who was on with us last night. Rob, have you managed to calm down any since last night? You weren't really too fussed on what you saw there.
Yeah, I have to learn to chill out when I come on those post-fight podcasts. I'm a bit too animated at the AJ team. I know, on this podcast, and you know, for hardcore boxing fans in general, we react to what they're trying to sell us. You know what I mean? It's not really a shot at AJ as a person. It's more about, because he doesn't say anything anyway, does he? Like, it's more about how Eddie tries to sell him and what they did. Like, to me, what really kind of started to burn me with the AJ thing was when they did that Muhammad Ali tribute, and then they brought him to the ring in the white robe versus Chaz Martin and the theatrics and all. And I was like, they're building this guy as legitimately trying to build him as the next Muhammad Ali. Like, he's not even the next Lennox. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it comes down to a lot of the way that they
Frank chose. Bruno.
Yeah, Frank Bruno, Mike, that's what we asked.
He does, about. Though, no joking, Rob. He does actually remind you of Bruno in a lot of ways.
That's what, when my dad first seen him, he said he's going to be new Frank Bruno. He's too big. And I was like, yeah, maybe we'd see. And he, you know, but it's about how they sell him. And, you know, I mean, immediately now, Eddie Hearn is this morning trying to make the Dillian White Wilder fight, like, just infuriating. Like, off what? We all saw the fight last night. We watched it. It was terrible. Don't blame Robert Hellenius for that. Blame Dillian White. He's not a top heavyweight. What the? Like, I don't know, man. It's hard to calm down when this kind of thing is going on. But at the end of the day, like, there's nobody out there. Like, there's nobody out there but AJ and Wilder that can sell tickets. Just make the fight. Like, make it happen. Give us some excitement, and hope that Fury, by miracle, somehow makes his way back onto the scene.
Got to stop mentioning Fury, actually, Rob. Someone texted in and said, "How long is it going to be before we have to just forget about Fury? He's an irrelevance." And Joe Ringer, who asked the question, is sort of right, Rob. You know, by the time it gets to like 2.5 years, 3 years, you got to say, "Okay, we're going to have to take Fury out of the equation."
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I said last week I didn't think he's going to come back, and I kind of stick by that. Like, as much as I'd love to see him, and as much as I think he easily beats AJ, I think, you know, maybe like as the months roll on, we get into 2018, we might never see that fight. We might never see him back, you know. So he's the listener's right there.
I'm sticking 20 quid on DVT at 20-1 to be AJ's next opponent.
How did you learn your lesson, Tommy?
If he blows Tony Bellew away and calls out Anthony Joshua, you know the boxing fans are going to, the casual fans are going to be all over that fight. David Hayes, a household name. If he loses against Tony Bellew, that fight has got a real possibility of getting made, in my opinion.
Oh man, I'd hate that. I would hate that fight.
It's got all depending on how David Hayes looks, obviously. But I think